Hello, this is Duncan, and welcome to the XCP Dev meeting for July 2021. We are going to go over some of the recent CIPs that have happened this last year. Really light coverage, basically what's in the newsletter. Hopefully get into some details at a later point if needed. We have a few guests scheduled for today. With us right now is a desktop commando. And he's going to be talking about the Emblem Vault from COVOL. I'm hesitant to name our other guests until in case they're unable to make it. So I'm going to go ahead and start talking about the CIPs in the newsletter. The number 19 through 23 are categorized as completed, and then we have an upcoming CIP 24. CIP 24 would be Oracle Dispensers, and this would allow prices to be set in currency such as USD or euros, and it would use trusted oracles to broadcast the price and on a regular basis, and then users would be able to set the sale of their tokens in those prices. And this will be convenient for some people who want to price their tokens in a specific currency instead of Bitcoin, as Bitcoin does fluctuate, as we all know. CIP, look, to go back to the completed CIPs, I'd like to talk about CIP 20. It's a sweep address or address sweep. This allows for the user to move all of the assets and the asset ownerships to another wallet with one single transaction. I believe this does cost XCP as a fee, and should be able to select if there are specific ones that don't need to be swept. I hate to be incorrect, and state, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that would be address sweeps, CIP 20. CIP 21 was dispensers, or is dispensers, or kind of like vending machines. So this was a major upgrade, which allows any user to set up vending machines to sell counterparty tokens at a set BTC price. Once the minimum amount of BTC is sent to the dispenser, then the sending address is credited back with the tokens from the dispenser on a single transaction. This feature makes using Bitcoin on counterparty platform much easier, makes the entire process single transaction. This feature was primarily written to simplify buying things on counterparty using Bitcoin. In addition, this feature allows for setting up of multiple dispensers on the same address to enable selling packs of cards or tokens with a single BTC payment. That's how it goes in the newsletter. It did cause a little bit of confusion being able to set up different tokens on the same address. And so one of the recent ways that JDog has modified Free Wallet is to allow the user to go ahead, and I'm not sure if this is specifically a CIP, but thanks, Grace. I didn't realize I was breaking up. Hopefully I have a better connection. sorry. As I was saying, there's in Free Wallet, there's the ability to create a new dispenser on a wallet that was previously unused. And then this is also a single transaction in order to help set up new ones. I'm sorry, CIP 22 is update FedNode stack to use indirectors. The CIP was created and implemented to make running a federated node easier and faster, and switching to index from index to indirectors for tracking BTC address balances resolves a number of issues, including unacceptable address balance query times and occasional hang on queries, which took a long time to respond. And then to round it out, CIP 23 was bug fixes on non-divisible dividends and zero quantity credits. This was the the last CIP that our recently departed core dev was able to complete. For those who are unaware, we lost our core dev, John Villar, earlier this year, and to reassure people, we have been told that some of the old developers are willing to step up in case anything goes awry. But in the meantime, we're still on our own, so to speak. So if I kind of poor at reading and speaking at the same time, so I'm navigating the chat room and looking to see who has joined the chat so far. If anybody is willing to, I see we have Exer in the room. Exer, and Mysterious Ascetic. Excellent. I had hoped that both of you could attend. Exer, I believe, is going to speak about his cards and maybe his help website setup. And I'm glad that Joe could make it. Maybe we could hear from Joe first. I'm not sure if he wants to talk about Freeport, but I know that Joe's time, he wasn't sure if he could even make it today. Joe, are you able to take the mic over? A Mysterious Ascetic?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Sure. Yeah, I guess I can give a quick just update on the wallets that I maintain, which would be Rare Pepe wallet and Freeport. Rare Pepe wallet. Everything works again. So there hasn't been any updates, but there's been bug fixes. So in the past, you couldn't view your previous orders to cancel orders. You would have had to go to Free Wallet to do that. That's all fixed. You should be able to see sends and receives. So everything should be working in Rare Pepe Wallet. If anybody runs into anything that's not working, please let me know, because as far as I know, everything is functional. As far as Freeport goes, I haven't pushed an update there in a while. And I don't have any sort of timeline as to the next time I will push an update. I mean, everything is functioning. It works. My next update that I hope to have some time to get into there is dispensers, and basically make it easy for someone to and then be able to sell it direct for Bitcoin via completely open source. I use the MIT license, so anyone's free to fork it and do what they want. So if anybody wants to take that on, any developers want to take that on and submit a pull request, I'm more than happy to take some time to review that. So yeah, I guess if anybody has any questions about that, I'll be on for at least the next few minutes. Until my kids run out screaming at me that they need something. So,
excellent, excellent. So, unless anybody has a pressing question, I was reviewing the development section of our message board at Counterparty Talk, and I noticed that a longtime member kind of had reemerged recently. His handle on the message board is JPJA. He started a thread about utilizing Electrum and mentioned you as making the library. I was wondering if you had a chance to see that. It's kind of fresh. It was 5 days ago. Sorry to put you on the spot, but I was wondering.
Are you asking me?
Yes, sir, because he mentioned you specifically. So he said you made the library. So at least I think it's public props to you for contributing to this new proposal that he or this idea that he suggests.
Was that the I don't know. I saw he had posted something about doing like on-chain auctions or something, but I didn't see anything else. So I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
Okay, no problem. I'm just trying to stay fresh on the message board. Like I said, it was just posted 5 days ago, but I did have a chance to look into that auction thread that you mentioned. I'm glad that you brought it up. It seemed that it was several years ago that he initially proposed it, and he kind of bumped the thread recently. I think it does merit re-examination to see how an auction might or could work. But some of his things that he was trying to address, I think might have been taken care of in the developments over the last couple of years.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, cool. The only real library that I put together was the JavaScript library that both Freeport and Rare Pepe Wallet use. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a formal library at this point. But if anybody is interested in kind of like building out their own either wallet or like transaction constructor via JavaScript, just let me know and I can help point them in the right direction.
Very excellent. Excellent. Does anyone in the room, we have around a dozen people currently with us. Anyone else in the room have a question or a comment for a mysterious aesthetic?
Yo, what's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I really like that. It's not so much a comment on development, but just like an off-cusp comment is when you said on Twitter the other day, you're like, there's 10,000 punks, but only 300 Pepes. And you made me totally FOMO into Pepe and grab the one on the deck. So thanks for that.
Nice.
It's not specifically too, sorry for just jumping in. I'm not an engineer or developer, so you disregard anything I say if you want to. I have had set up this brainstorming board in terms of looking at calculating rarity scores for anything on the counterparty protocol. Is there, I've been like shilling it for 2 weeks, and there's since I can't do it myself. Is there any interest in this now that we the protocol and Rare Pepes in particular gain so much traction to push this forward and do something in that direction at least, or at least give some input so we can give it to someone. Funded by the community or something that to have it developed and published?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I know that there are some guys that do that in the like kind of CryptoPunk Discord, and they do a similar kind of like trying to figure out the rarity of punks. And I think that's actually, it helps valuations a bit just to kind of give a better way to compare one-to-one. I know, at least with Rare Pepes, they're hard to kind of value if you haven't been deep in the weeds on them. So I did. I saw you posted that board you were working on with just kind of ideas for that. I bookmarked it yesterday. I will try to take a look at it today. But I think the easiest way to go with that would be to like one of the things that I can help with that would be kind of easier for me to like pick up and do in any time that I have is that if we can nail down a couple metrics, I can put together endpoints for that. And then we could just use like something like a Google Sheet or something for the UI. I'm familiar with like scripting in Google Sheets, so we could, I could kind of that build a quick way to import that data and then just kind of run any sort of like put any sort of Pepes or even not just out of Spells of Genesis cards or anything like that in there to try to like calculate a score. And then as long as we just define how that score is calculated, I think and it's just transparent, it just becomes another tool that people can use. So I'm not opposed to it. It's just, I just haven't had a chance to take a look at it.
So, but would you be able to basically from the 5 or 6 methods that we have in the board, just say, okay, these two make sense and maybe sanity check for some brain fucks that we have had in terms of like reversing, normalizing for 1,000 or 100% or whatever, and just making sure that the concept is sane. I mean, I would probably need to take up Python or anything just to read for larger issuance. A Google Sheet probably not enough to do all the transaction backtracing and shit for noticing large issuances. That's mostly my issue.
Yeah, well, that's where I can build the like backend query. So the Google Sheet would be more for just like a UI rather than trying to like build a whole UI out for calculating the stuff. If we have like a metric, then I can build the script in the background and then you can basically use the sheet to like input the name of the asset and have it just calculate the different values for whatever the different metrics are. And then you can, and then from there, my thinking with the Google Sheet would be how do we then like add them all together to create a final score. I think that's where there's a little more, it would need a little more experimentation as to like how to weight certain things. And, but as far as like coming up with each individual metric, I can do a query, like I can just write a script so that you would put it in that query run. So you're not like, I don't mean by a Google Sheet, like look up all the information and manually type it in. I see the something like a Google Sheet more for kind of figuring out how we're going to quantify everything all together, all the metrics together. Each individual metric, I think we can, I can probably put a script together for. So I'll look at your sheet. I know you sent it to me before. I'll try to take some time today to look at it and then see if I can just put a few different queries together. And I can even maybe start a sheet and dump the values in there so people can start messing around with like weighting things differently, normalizing them and all that kind of stuff to get that final score.
Right. That'd be great. Just also from as a sanity check, if that what we put in there makes sense at all, right? Just like some analytical view from an analytical vantage point. So to tell us that that's bullshit that we thought of, or that makes sense. That makes more sense. These kind of things.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to take some. I got some time today. It was supposed to be raining all day where I live, but now it's not raining. So I've gone back to trying to get some yard work done. So, but I'll try to get in, maybe this evening and take a look and at least try to, give my input on what makes sense. And then I'll pick a few that I can kind of build some scripts so we can have the queries dump into a sheet or something so we can start messing around with it.
Much appreciated. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Excellent. That's all great news. I think that's taking on something that's affecting us all, the information asymmetry, to really know what's what in a standard way. And I think this is excellent for all participants all around. Great news, gentlemen. Thank you, Dennis, for your question. And really, thank you, Joe, for your time. I think it might be time to transition to one of our other guests. And I think we kind of have an informal atmosphere, no like set schedule today. So kind of like whoever might have the most pressing thing going on afterwards, well, I'd like to if they could volunteer next, whether Xer or Desktop Commando was our guest in the community. And so unless one of our other guests objects, I would like it if he could go next, if he's willing.
Yeah, I'm willing. EmbonVault evolved on, started as COBOL on Counterparty itself, but we generally moved across to XC across to Ethereum when Bittrex delisted us along with everyone else. But what we aimed to do with the Emblem Vault is to make cross blockchains for all blockchains. And although you've seen with like the rare Pepes going onto the actual application, it can actually carry any XCP asset and the currency as well. I'd say if there's any questions as such, but the idea really is that your assets stay on your same blockchain and can be sold on any other blockchain. The main thing that we moved on to was OpenSea. There are a few others on different five different EVM networks we go on, Polygon, XDAI, BSC, and Phantom. But hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be releasing our own marketplace where anybody that's trying to sell their NFTs won't have to pay like the 2.5% charge to OpenSea, because we won't be collecting it. All we are charging is the ability to, the 300 COVOL to go in. If there's any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, actually. I remember you had posted a Medium article maybe a couple months ago, kind of doing a deeper dive into exactly how the Emblem Vaults work with like the Google HSM and stuff. And I was wondering whether you want to get into it now, if you could at least repost that, because I was trying to find that particular Medium post and I couldn't find it. So if you could either repost or just kind of go to a, since it is a dev meeting, just a little more technical detail as to exactly how the Emblem Vault's generated and then how it's like destroyed to get the private key out of it afterwards. I have an idea how it works, but I don't really have like a real deep understanding of what's going on under the hood.
No problem. I will say that I'm not a coder or anything like that. I'm just basically someone who's taking a massive interest in it, and I can see how it works and things like that, but I don't know the proper ins and outs of it. I can only explain it like I'm trying to explain it to 5-year-olds. That's how I do it with the Medium posts I've done. But essentially what Shannon discovered on Counterparty was that he found a way to place a wallet address inside a token. However he did it, there's plenty of presentations explaining more of the geek technical talk. I've just posted the basic guide. If you look around my Medium and click my actual top right and just click the little icon of me, it brings up all the rest of the Medium posts that I've done. But basically, creates an NFT on any of the EVMs. It generates from the seed key that that is available within for that particular NFT. All the seed keys that you get off, I believe there's an Ian Cole BIP44. I believe you type it into Google, it'll pop up. There'll be like a generation tool there. In this way, any NFT that is made now, anything in the future, as we add more blockchains, the same key will generate for those particular blockchains. I do know the only problem is the difference between Bitcoin to Counterparty is the 24. Well, the actual mnemonic phrase is different, so you need to use the actual private key to import off. I know I ramble on about a little bit, but I'll let you ask more questions and I'll go to it directly if you don't mind.
Yeah, I guess if you have if you can like dump any resources you can think of. I mean, any like anything maybe Shannon would have written up or anything just that kind of gives a deeper dive into like exactly like how it's like working. That would be helpful. I mean, I honestly like obviously if you don't if you're not sure or unfamiliar with the actual like deep dive technical stuff, I definitely can appreciate that. But yeah, if any kind of resources that we could like look over or documentation and stuff that kind of gives more of a like technical like under the hood explanation would be that would be great. If any of those if you could just post them in like the XCP chat, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, hello. So yeah, I think I raised the concern as well. I think the idea is fantastic and the execution is good. The only concern is all around the security and how the key is handled. When I create a vault, who in the end could get the key and get the private key all at once. I think it's the main concern from my side. Otherwise, I think the idea is great. Just a bit worried about this part.
Yeah, I understand. Shannon would be the best person to. Unfortunately, since the meeting popped up, we only knew about yesterday, he's already got a prior engagement. He's actually riding a horse or trying to fall off it. He'd be the best person to speak this. I know he aims to have an audit company look at the tech, but because of for what it actually is, we didn't want someone just to come along and fork it after he spent like 5 or 6 years of his life trying to bring it up to what it is. Proper auditing, things along those lines, you would have to speak to him. But I think it, although we've the actual the way it's the keys done, they're encrypted. The owner and the curator do not get access to them. They're sharded using Shamir's secret sharing. The split between the actual NFT and uploaded to Google HMS Cloud. For the time being, although we know Google is effectively a centralized entity, the idea we were looking at was to bring it off and maybe put it onto a secret network. But we've also looked at maybe internet, computer, other decentralized sort of hubs to pull it away so we can make it 100% secure as a DEX. But again, the ins and outs and guts of it, all of it isn't, I shared the Decentric links where you can have a play around on GitHub, but the core programming part of it has been purposely taken off that because we don't want anybody to steal it, you know, even out, get it, while it's not ready. Sorry. Again, speak to Shannon.
I just have two short questions. Is there a way to bridge the vault and its contents from one network to the other? Because I think that's, or is there a plan to do that? Because I know that's, I think that's not possible right now. And then the other is to maybe, just as an idea, to sort of white label the vault and have it appear under different names, for example, in OpenSea and other platforms. So maybe just wrap it not as an emblem vault, but as, let's say, a Rap Happy vault or something on the same code base, just so that it pops up under a different collection name, like that all retroactively, all the vaults that have a certain type of asset in it could be then categorized and looked up better on the different auction platforms.
Shannon, the actual NFT to NFT exchange that we're building at the moment, he's also making this possible for other platforms where it would be. So the coding would be underneath whatever wants on top of it. Just saying, if Monero wanted to make NFTs and do anything, Monero users could pay Monero to make the vault, although underneath whatever the coding, COBOL would still be involved at some point. But a way that you can put your own storefront over the top of it or do something with it, there will be APIs available for that to work. If that's what you mean.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, the means by which this is made possible are, there are plentyfold. Just if I look at, if I want to point people to wrap Pepe on, let's say, OpenSea. I have to some look for emblem vaults, and I could would be just awesome to them look for Red Pepe vaults, right? And they would be just the same as emblem vaults, just the contract would resolve to that Red Pepe name or whatever, and then you could have counterpart Spells of Genesis vaults for Spells of Genesis cards and stuff. And although they'd all be based on the same tech and basically be the same vaults,
collection names. I think some people have done that, made their own collections, and still emblem vaults work. I believe it's possible. If you play around with OpenSea, I'm pretty sure you can make your own collection and still put an emblem vault in it. I believe some of the early guys in Counterparty have done it.
Okay, because I think on OpenSea, you can just, if you make a collection, you can link to something, but that's not the thing. It's just a link to the thing, and that's better for if you upload images and stuff. So, maybe I'm not just quite versed enough with OpenSea.
The thing is, so basically OpenSea lists one smart contract, ERC-721, as one collection. So all emblem vaults are a token issued on a single contract. So that's why every vault is under one name. The solution for that would be to have multiple emblem vault contracts, which has their own token numbers, IDs, for each sub collection. And that would imply, I guess, a bit more work from emblem vault, but that would be the solution to have different collections.
Yeah, I think that's more what I meant. Yeah,
I feel like an option to change it and select a new contract. I'll tell Shannon about that. That'd be good.
Also, another thing that would be interesting is, do you have an API for the vault? Because if, for example, one Spells of Genesis card is included in a vault, we could imagine that player could still play with that card in-game as long as they own the vault as it is wrapped. We will need an API to query the data.
Yeah, there is one. I'll while we're all talking, I'll try and find it and I'll add it again into the chat.
Cool.
Okay, and excuse me, real quick, all the notes that are being added to the chat room, I'm going to include in the notes for the meeting, so that someone in the future listening to the recording can still follow along. So if you do think of any links within even the next hour or two after the meeting, feel free to drop them in.
Yeah, no problem. That's what I ramble on about a little bit, sorry.
Can I come with a point? Maybe that's one for JDog. But basically, what you just said about the mnemonic to be different, it is an issue because most Counterparty wallets, all except IndieSquare and Kazatukan, are using the old format, the passphrase format. Well, now every wallet uses BIP39. Then you can make your passphrase compatible with MetaMask and all other chain and token outside. Would be great if wallets like Free Wallets and official Counterparty could also understand the standard BIP39 passphrase type. I think it would help a lot. Everybody from the user to emblem vaults implementation. I don't know if someone has a say about that.
I know I posted that bit 39, that's the address to it, but I do believe it's bit 44 that he actually uses.
I think the word list is the same. It's just the derivation path that's different. And I feel like Free Wallet or yeah, does use the more standard version, or give you the option at least. I mean, the biggest problem is once you start using a certain like derivation path to create addresses, then everyone starts to use those addresses, and now you got to support both, right? I'm almost positive the word list is the same. So it really just comes down to creating the ability within the wallet to generate addresses from a different derivation path.
Actually, no. The algorithm to derive the address is completely different, and you cannot translate from one to the other because it's the very first algorithm. And did some research about it. It's completely incompatible from word list to the way it derives. There is no way to push one into the other. So the decision we make from Casa Toucan is to generate by default BIP39, which will work as well in MetaMask and all other wallets, but it doesn't work in Counterparty, and there is no way to translate in a free wallet or counter wallet passphrase.
But then both to you and to RepPepe wallet, would it be possible to implement import of private keys then at least? So yeah, we can be a little bit more flexible to move around.
Yeah. That's definitely something that we will need to add, import private key, that's for sure. But it would be great if also we transition to BIP39 because it's very widely used and more handy.
This is all very great conversation, gentlemen. I really appreciate all of you participating. Unfortunately, JDog is unable to make it this meeting. It was kind of scheduled without asking a lot of people if they could make it. It was scheduled last minute, but I really wanted to get the date on the newsletter. And so I'm definitely looking forward to a next meeting where maybe more people can make it. Kind of maybe wrapping it up with the desktop commando and maybe even transitioning to Siobhan. Do we have any last questions about the Emblem Vault or COBOL?
I just want to say it's a really hugely fucking awesome thing that you're doing this. And I mean, questions and shit, that's all been resolved. Just big kudos. And I really love the product. And I think that needs to be said, you know, by someone, and that will be me for now. So great job. Keep it up.
Just again on that as well, when our new app NFT to NFT comes out, that means that either you can just say on Ethereum, you can swap same NFTs over or place an emblem vault and another emblem vault. You could have RepPepe's, for example, in one emblem vault and any payment in the other. So where at the moment we are constricted to what you can get from OpenSea, you could have literally anything up to 2,500 different cryptocurrencies in the other Emblem Vault. So you can tell people what you want as the payment.
That makes me think of something. Cool. Is there any communication between you and NFTX at all? Because that would be the bestest to have a separate contract that only accepts basically RepPepe's. And then you could put that into a liquidity pool or something. Is there with Alex Gaussmann, is there any contact whatsoever?
There has been some people a lot of people want us to actually produce the goods, because at the moment a lot of people even now they still think that Emblem Vault is vaporware, you know. It's just a case of once our NFT to NFT swapper comes out and people can actually see it and see it working and effectively trust it. Otherwise, there's a lot of people saying this could happen, but until products actually pop up, you know, I guess we just have to wait.
Oh, wait.
But even that one, we like to cooperate with other, other projects. We don't like to be the competition and talk them against them and talk down on them. Because again, like even with a counterparty, I was trying to say, the application itself isn't trying to take anything away from counterparty. You have dispensers, you have your own type of exchange and stuff. We just aim to give everyone a different option to do something differently. And in a way, it's improved bringing Pere Pepes, for example, out onto the Ethereum network, where, as you know, a lot of places are actually aimed at OpenSea and things like that. But it still brings the fact is it's still your original blockchain that your products reside on.
Excellent. Very cool. Thanks again very much for your time today, sir. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
And Shaban, would you like to speak next?
Yes, why not? I didn't prepare anything specific, so let me give you a little tour of what we do, what we did, what we do, and what we're going to do. So quickly about myself, I'm the founder of EverDreamSoft, the producer of the game Spells of Genesis that you might have heard of. Very early on Counterparty, and now we are building tools to allow people to own their card in multiple system, multiple chain. And we never migrated from Counterparty. So a lot of people were telling us you should build on Ethereum and not on Counterparty. And we like Bitcoin blockchain. It has potential. It has their advantages. I use also Ethereum and play Ethereum games. So I'm not against for one and against one. I think there is place for different tech, and you could opt in to several techs. So that's why we're building the Orb Explorer, which is on work. The goal is to index all the NFTs that exist on multiple chains. Why? Because people are now using Ethereum mainly for their NFTs, but there is also other places where there's NFT, like Counterparty. And people are entering from Ethereum, but when they want to go and use and get the rare pipping outside of Emblem Vault, which is a great idea and concept, it's hard for them to find the data. So we want to unify that, whether it's from the wallet, Casa Toucan, where you can use your CryptoKitty Axie Infinity, but at the same time, you receive a Bitcoin address where you can store your counterparty tokens. So basically, we want really to break the barriers between one chain to the other and allowing people to hold their NFT on multiple different system. This is what we are doing, and we are now focusing, actually we're fundraising for a new project. I cannot tell you a lot right now, but it's basically a new blockchain, but for not an NFT blockchain, but for NFT certification. That will be able to certify origin and compliance of art, of crypto art across any chain. So basically, if you if you create a piece of art on Ethereum and you move it to Counterparty, for example, you'll be able to certify that you're the author and you are the right owner, and the actual token on Counterparty is actually a real thing and not a ripoff. So basically a decentralized chain for asset certification related to their tokens. So if anybody has a question, don't hesitate. I'm here to answer, whether it's on OG spells assets or actual or future projects. Do not hesitate.
Hey Siobhan, how you doing? It's Dexter.
Hey.
So cool. So I think in your bio you left out that you're the first creator of a digital art NFT, I think. But my question is on this certification thing. That's pretty interesting. So would it be like a burn? So you would continually burn back and forth, and it would just be certified each burn? Is that how it would work?
Not exactly. Okay, I'll dig in, but please don't share too much around. So basically it's a decentralized.
Just to interject, I hate to interject, but we are recording the meeting to be published.
True.
Although it sounds like a blockchain copier, maybe even better, but I just want to caution you that we hopefully make this public at some point soon.
Yeah, and I'm willing to wait too. It's not that big a deal. It's just a question.
Yeah. Okay. So since we're recorded, I'll make some announcement a bit later on. But if you have some question in private about that, I'll be happy to answer.
Cool, thank you.
I did see somebody in the community lamenting the passing of a Book of Orbs, and their question at the time was, what kind of collection viewer / marketplace Everdreamsoft is offering and to replace it?
So very good question. So to be fair, we had to run on a limited budget this recent time, so we couldn't support everything. And you may have noticed that we have several products like Kazatukan, Orb Explorer, spells, and they're not moving too fast. I have to agree with that. But now, as we're fundraising, we'll get more up to speed. So to answer the specific question is, we migrated Book of Orbs as a dApp in Kazatukan for some time. And what we're going to do is integrate more the DEX operation in Kazatukan. Will improve the overall wallet and feature to have a seamless experience when you trade token regardless of the chain. So basically, Book of Orbs as a single product is not there anymore, but will include more of marketplaces on Kazatukan and Book of Orbs, on Orb Explorer and Kazatukan. So right now, Orb Explorer, you can browse to your balance and view historic from three different chains, but what we will implement is a marketplace, DEX, access to dispensers, and all that information as a one-stop shop. Basically, when a user wants to know, okay, what do I own as NFT? Where can I find Pepes? Where can I buy them? So we want to implement this in a unified way and a unified experience across across different chains.
That's super great news. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I will add to that what's also a thing is the ability to mint your own token and specifically mint NFT in a sense, also in a unified manner. So right now, there is a lot of Ethereum mint tool, but not many or you know, for a counterparty. So here the idea is you could mint your own token and then you choose your chain that you prefer. So you upload your image and say, okay, I want it on Ethereum, I want it on counterparty. And I think we're lacking this a bit of creative tool when it comes to counterparty.
Excellent. We are joined by another member, but we're still kind of bare bones crew today. Does anyone else have a question or comment or want to just say, hey, it's nice to have Siobhan here. Siobhan, I really appreciate you showing up on such short notice and really giving us the lowdown. Unless anyone else has a question, maybe we could move on to Xer, because I know Xer's been here the whole time and I hate to keep pushing him back. Siobhan, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to next time.
Happy and to be here. Xer.
Hey, Duncan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. At first I had a little bit of the jitters for the first time, but you know, I had faith that we have a strong community that's understanding, and I'm glad I was muted because I laughed out loud several times so far. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, sir. Did you want to talk about one or both of your projects?
Yeah, I'll talk about both. Let's say Siobhan and the Desktop Commando, Dennis, Lean, Quentin. Hey, how you guys doing? Quentin, I sent you a package, so I don't know if you got it yet, but it should be coming. So yeah, I build the Xer, and I think you guys all know that I'm making the cards. I've given most of them away. We sold about $2,000 worth of cards since we started, so that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy about that. It's more of just a fun project for me, if anything, and then maybe it'll kind of develop into something better. But it was mostly to spread community awareness about Pepes and Counterparty Protocol. If you look on XChain, you guys might have seen it. So for some reason, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but when I started in Counterparty, I think it was like late 2015 to 2016, my goal was to like put stocks on the Counterparty. So obviously, there's so many security laws around that it's not really possible. So then I thought of the idea that I would burn the stock share. So basically, I wanted to buy an Apple share and I wanted to destroy it. And there's actually no way to destroy a share. So I was in Coronado at the Stock Twits conference back in 2000, I think it was 18, and I registered the entire S&P 500 on with Counterparty tokens. So every asset has stock before it, and then it has a ticker symbol after it. And I'm asking everyone at the conference, you know, how can I burn a piece of share of stock? Well, they're like, what do you, like, they didn't understand. Like, what do you mean you want to burn it? I was like, I want to buy it, but I want to destroy it. Because if I could destroy the share of stock, then obviously I wouldn't be the holder of the share of stock and I could put it on Bitcoin. And everyone was just like flabbergasted because they're like, why would you ever want to do that? So there's literally no way to burn a share of stock. If you don't own it, the broker has to own it. And if you die, then the state comes in and gets that share. So you can't destroy a share of stock. I guess the only real destroy share of stock would be a buyback by the company itself. So that was impossible. So then the other day, I built this marketplace, Xer.co, and obviously people have their cards for sale. And I'm just like, you know, these aren't selling very well, or I don't want people to buy the cards and they have them sitting in the marketplace and they're like trying to flip them or whatever. And they're not selling because I don't have enough users. So I don't know why I didn't think of this, but if you look at XChain, you'll see Xer.djpepe. And I decided to tokenize the physical cards itself. And then basically you can trade that physical card with others over counterparty, and then the last person, whoever wants to redeem it at any time, you send the token to xr.co at redeem, which I don't have built out yet, but it's coming. And then basically that would generate a burn address using the Bitcoin Trust Network. And that would verify the ownership and the delivery address of the physical card. So I'm pretty excited about that. I started with the XPSA cards. I don't know how I got into PSA cards, but just making these extra cards. And then I was like, you know, it'd be cool to trade baseball cards inside your wallet, because I'm buying these baseball cards on eBay. And, you know, you got to buy them, then you got to pay all these eBay fees, and then you have to ship them back and forth, and you got to relist them. And the time the card gets traded on eBay like three times, it's literally you paid more fees than the card's worth. So I think it'd be really cool to have baseball cards trading inside counterparty directly from your wallet. And then if you want to redeem them, you can. So I don't know why I didn't think of this a long time ago. So obviously it's not stock shares, it's not as cool as that, but it's just a way to see how it works out. And I don't know if counterparty is exactly the best place to do it because of the fees, but right now the fees are so low. We'll see how that goes. So that's what I'm working on. And then UOCP, University of Counterparty, is just my side project, just to try to introduce people how to use counterparty. And I'm going to make some more videos. It kind of fell off the side building XR, but I'll get back into that. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much for contributing to the community efforts and your help website. Really trying to help the new users. That kind of community help is greatly appreciated, and it's probably not spoken enough. I really like where you're going with this. As a host, I try to stay away from my personal viewpoints, but I do like where you're going with this, using a token as an IOU and then having it settled. As an artist, I'm exploring something similar. And I really like to see it as identify as a crypto artist, and I like to see more experimentation in the space, more using of physical versus NFT versus fungible. I really appreciate everything you do. And, some people have want to split hairs about the exactitudes of your actions. But I think, kudos to you for doing something. And, I'll stand behind you for that for sure. And I'm really glad to have you on the developer meeting. Is there anyone here that wanted to had a comment for you as well, or maybe a question?
Have you been subpoenaed yet, as announced in the Telegram channel?
What do you mean subpoena? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Like sued someone. I think someone said they'd sue you if you use their card as a token, whatever.
Oh yeah. No, I tried to stay away from that guy's cards. And then if I did use other people's cards, I knew who they were. I asked them. The baseball cards is kind of just like a, I don't know if the SEC will, I'm going against SEC rules for holding people's cards, and they're doing a token, but I think it's just baseball cards. So I don't think it's that big a deal. And if XR does become big, then I'll probably have enough money to defend myself. So we'll see what happens with that. And then, I think Art Nomi explained it best in the chat the other day. Like, people, obviously they made these Pepes and it is their Pepe and it's important to them. And I completely understand that. But my main goal was just to really spread awareness around Pepes and counterparty itself, not to make money, but obviously I'd like to make some money along the way. But Art Nomi said, which was interesting and which I don't think a lot of people understand, is like the Mona Lisa is the most valuable painting in the world. And it's also the most counterfeit painting in the world. So, the more times people see that image over and over and over again, is just the more valuable it becomes. So I don't think it's right if people say, oh, you own the token, you shouldn't print the card, because, when that card's getting printed, it's just going to get more eyes on it and make the existing tokens even more valuable.
I will add to that. I think we need together to define a license. So when you create an art and you tokenize it, what are exactly the rights that you give to the token holder? And I think that's unclear, and would be good to clarify that. And will do for spells of Genesis, because it's an important question. What exactly do I own when I own the token?
Yeah, I totally agree with that 100%.
I do appreciate the fact that you do reach out to artists individually and then avoid known artists that have a problem. It's unfortunate to see actors in the space who kind of assume that there's a license for the whole collection of rare Pepes and take it upon themselves to do whatever with that whole collection. And I like to see the majority of people, you know, that are participating, you know, along with it, or having the option to opt out. I think that's important as well. Is it how is the information coming for the educational website? I noticed that you had some contributions at first. Are you at a point with the development where other people are able to log in and kind of add questions when you're unavailable?
No, I haven't added anything like that. I think the main thing is just making some videos. So if anyone wants to make videos on how to do certain things, I'd be happy to just add them to the site and just let me know, and I'll take care of that.
Excellent. Welcome our new listeners, Elvis and Don. We are getting kind of to the end of an hour. I've noticed that most meetings online are usually about an hour. And when they go really great, the person that you're calling says, hey, we got to do this next week, or we got to do this in a month. And so we talked about the CIPs kind of really briefly at the very beginning. We heard from Joe. Shaban joined us, Xer, we talked to last, Desktop Commando, had the mic for a while, and, Dennis joined us with, very many questions. His presence is greatly appreciated. And, so we're getting to the kind of the end, of the meeting where, we have the scheduled guests have spoken. We kind of talked about the CIPs, the recent CIPs. I do want to invite general discussion or questions and answers that might not have occurred during different time slots. And then I'll probably wrap up the recording pretty soon, and then we can have off the record conversation since we're all here. So I'm going to ask the room in general if there's any impromptu presentations or requests, or all on topic with development of Counterparty, with Counterparty, or on Counterparty. I would appreciate it if you could volunteer now. Okay, well, I guess that's consensus by silence. And so I am definitely looking forward to the next meeting. There are at least two projects I've been working on, and I know at least three or four other people who are burgeoning on something great, but they can't and won't go public now because it is such a crazy cutthroat world out there in the crypto market. So my name is Duncan, and this is our first in a long time dev meeting, July of 2021. And thank you everyone for attending. Feel free to say goodbye in the half a minute or so it takes me to turn off the recording.
Thanks, Duncan.
Yeah, thanks a lot.